The Spirit of God draws things to a close, and it says in from verse 15 of chapter 50, when Joseph's brothers saw on page, I think it's on page 57, sorry, I think it is somewhere there. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the things we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Amen. Praise God for his word to us together. It's incredible, amazing grace and the sovereignty of God that Joseph knew about. But I want to ask you the question very simply this morning. How sovereign is your sovereign God? You know, we know that he was sovereign in our salvation. But what about sovereign in our day-to-day life, in everything that falls to us in our daily living? Dr. Brackenman wrote these words, "The scriptures teach that God exercises sovereign and absolute rule over the universe to do what he wills." But that sort of text is backed up, or that saying is backed up by what 1 Chronicles 29 says. Listen to this. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." Amen. Both statements, one from the doctor and one from taken directly out of scripture, they're statements that sound like God is weaving a beautiful tapestry, building all things together. But I don't know whether you've ever looked at a tapestry. Some years ago when we worked in the farming community, one of the farmers had some beautiful tapestry on the walls, and I made my biggest mistake once. Some of them were like 100, 120 years old, and the intricacy was fantastic. It really was amazing. And I made the mistake of saying, that's lovely cross-stitch, that, isn't it? It's not cross-stitch, she told me. It was tapestry, and it had been made, and they'd woven the needlework together beautifully and got the colours just the right. And as a result, a beautiful picture was created just like that. And it amazes me. Would you believe that is tapestry? And when you see it from the front, you can see the intricacy of the needlework and the beauty. But when you see it from the back, it looks an absolute mess. Look at them two. Look at that beautiful bird there. But look at that, that's what it was at the backside of it. Sometimes we see God's plan more like the back of a tapestry. No order, no structure, no picture. It's just not clear. It just looks like a mess. But God sees his divine tapestry. The things that he is weaving in yours and my life, in the whole of creation, he sees them all woven together, and it is a wonderful plan. The problem concerning God's sovereignty is not divine revelation. The problem with God's sovereignty is our human explanation of what God is doing. The theme for our Fun Day weekend has been Joseph. And in our reading, we get a glimpse of something that enabled Joseph to stay faithful all through his life. And it was simply this: he had a grasp of the sovereignty of God. To Joseph, the doctrine of sovereignty, the fact that God is in, that's what sovereignty means, that God is in control of everything. The fact that God was in control, for Joseph, it wasn't just a nice thought. It wasn't just a belief, a theology. It was a living reality in his daily living. It was very personal and incredibly practical. It kept him from rebellion during those bad times, but it also, as we've saw in our reading, it kept him from retaliation in some of those good times as well. You see, a believer's grasp of the sovereignty of God is that which will enable a believer to cope with the negative and the positive circumstances of life and stay faithfully serving God in an honoring way. Knowing that all things work together to good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purposes. When we realize, when we fully understand that God is in control of all things, it enables us to continue to function in a way that honors God, living right for His glory. Those who have a grasp on the sovereignty of God are very afraid. Those who do not have a grasp on the sovereignty of God are very afraid when negative things happen. That's what we see there. In our reading this morning, it was quite clear from Joseph's response to his brothers in verses 19 to 21 that Joseph's, when Jacob died, what he needed to do. But Joseph's brothers were very, very afraid, afraid of what Joseph might do in retaliation to them. And the scripture uses this word fear. They were absolutely terrified of what might happen to them as a result of the death of their father. And their fear began all the way back in their father's funeral, all the way back in Hebron. And you can imagine they were gripped with what was happening all the way back. And they traveled back and they sort of brought this plan together of what they're going to say to their brother Joseph. Joseph could legitimately punish them for their behavior. Josephus, who is the first century Jewish historian, claims that the boys believed that the only reason Joseph had been nice to them throughout the years was because Jacob was still alive. And that now that Jacob was gone, he had the power to punish them. You know, I think we see this in their reactions. Look how they reacted. There it is. Those who don't have a proper grasp of the sovereignty of God, there are those who are afraid and they often speculate about things. In verse 15, it says there, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said to him, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong things he did?" Fearful people who don't understand that God is in control begin to speculate, not actualize. They don't look at the truth of a situation. They begin to become more fearful about the what ifs, you know? The what if this happens rather than the what ars are really, really happening. Are you a bit like that sometimes? Be honest. Do you forget sometimes that God is sovereignly in control of all things? Those who lose the sight of the sovereignty of God react in ways that are emotional and often sadly irrational. Folks, can I say this lovingly to us in learning these lessons, that we need to be careful what we allow to dictate the direction of our life. Don't allow our life to be dictated by fear, but allow it to be dictated by the sovereign plan of a holy God. Secondly, those who are afraid, who don't have a grasp of the sovereignty of God, they're afraid and they often distort things again. Look what it says there in verse 16 and 17. So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what he said," and this is what they said. Do you know, can I say this lovingly? That was a lie. Because if Jacob had have said those, I want to suggest to you, if you look back in what Jacob had said to the sons, he was meticulous in his account of them, of all the things that they needed to do and that they will be in their future life. I want to suggest to you that if this was true, he would have left something in the Holy Writ about this. No, it wasn't true. And their lies, they began to distort things. They began to make things up. John Calvin on this particular scripture said that this, if this actually had been true, the true wish of Jacob, He would have orchestrated it before he died. Now, I'm being really, really polite when I say that their fear made them distort the truth. If the truth of known is that they were outright liars. Not just distorting the situation, not just seeing things from a wrong angle. They were lying. Do you know, Proverbs 16:16-9 tells us what God thinks about liars. It says this, there's six things that I hate. No, actually, there's seven altogether. It says, I hate a proud look. I hate a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that go swiftly running to do evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord amongst brethren. Isn't it incredible that the thing that God hates, including in the shedding of innocent blood, is people who tell lies and distort truth? Do you know, if I believed all the things that I'd heard said about me over the years, I'd have absolutely nothing to do with myself. Can I encourage you, if you hear anything about me, come and ask me about it. And if you hear anything about somebody else, ask them first. Because the scripture is quite clear. God hates people who lie and distort the truth. And this is how he viewed these people. They didn't have a grasp of the sovereignty of God, and so they began to distort the truth. Do you know, when we don't have a big picture of what God is doing, we begin to see things in a really, really distorted, wonky way. The third thing that we noticed this morning, those who are afraid often become a slave to things as well. Especially a slave to fear. In verse 18 it says, his brothers threw themselves down before him and said, who are we? Are your slaves? Do you know, this would have been a glorious text if it wasn't so pathetic. Once again, we find that Joseph's brothers are fulfilling the prophecy that Joseph gave to them many, many years before. Remember when he said in his dream that one day his brothers and his father and even his mother would bow down to worship him because he would be exalted? They didn't see themselves as brothers now. They actually only saw themselves as slaves. When you are gripped with fear, especially irrational fear, you become a slave to that fear, and you cannot see God's sovereign plan working out because of the fear. Do you know, it breaks my heart and it breaks God's heart, because there are so many people within our community, even sadly some people within the church, the house of the Lord, who are gripped, who are slaves to things, even slaves to addiction, to alcohol, to drug, to food, to pornography, to lust, to things which would cause them to go into sin. Slaves to power, slaves to control, slaves to abuse. All people who don't have a proper grasp on who God is, on the sovereignty of God, run the risk of becoming slaves to their fears. Can I just say that this point there is another important lesson for us as well this morning. Look at the brothers' actions, folks. 17 years they had an option to deal with their sin. For 17 years they came, when Jacob came from Israel and they bowed before Joseph and they recognized who he was. Joseph set them up in Goshen, in a beautiful land, and he gave them land, he gave them prosperity, and they lived there for 17 years, and they benefited from the favor of their brother Joseph. And you know, during those 17 years, not one of them came to Joseph and said, I'm so, so sorry. And the point I'm trying to make is this, folks, another lesson that we need to learn, one that I'm not going to charge you for this morning. And it's this: deal with sin now. Don't wait for it. Because one day it will come back around and it will bite you hard. And maybe you will be exposed for the sake of your sin, just like these men. Deal with sin in your life now. Don't allow it to bring you under fear. Don't allow the enemy to bring that level of, you know the way the enemy does? where he whispers doubt in your mind because of the things that you've done of the past. And he reminds you of your unworthiness. He reminds you of the guilt that lies within often. If these boys had have dealt with the sin, they could have experienced so much freedom for those last 17 years of their father's life on earth. But they were gripped with fear. Folks, can I encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus to deal with sin in your life? Get it right before God. And if it means you need to have to go and deal with somebody else, ask for somebody else's forgiveness. Deal with it now. No longer be a slave to that sin. But be free in Christ Jesus. The second thing for this morning, simply and very quickly, is this. Those who do have a grasp of the sovereignty of God are found faithful even when negative things happen. I remind you that Joseph was a boy when he received the word of the Lord. When the promises of God came to him, he was only a boy. Now, we may question how he handled the word of the Lord. We may question how stupid he was, the way he seemed to lord it over his brothers. But can I say, and just remind you, that he was a young boy here. I've seen many older men, many older preachers, handle the word of God in a far worse way than he's handled the word of God. And have used it as a stick to break it over the head of God's people. No, whether he was naive, whether he was immature in the way he expressed the word of God to his brothers, one other thing is true, and it's this, is he held on to the promises of God all the days of his life. Even through some of those difficult things that he experienced, even through the false accusations, even through the slavery, through the punishment that he would have received, even though when he was betrayed, remember that man said to him when he helped him? It was at the potter. He said, don't worry, when I get out, I'll remember that. I'll tell you the king. 2 years it was before he spoke to the king. 2 years he laid in a jail under a false accusation, betrayed by all those. But you know, within the midst of it, he never forgot God's promises. You know what happens to us, don't we? We pray that the Lord will provide a parking space in Chesterfield on market day. And when there's no parking space, we suddenly think there's a sovereign God has got off his throne and turned his back on us. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes the littlest thing happens in our experience and we feel that God is gone. I praise God for this example of this man, don't you, Joseph? Who received the word of the Lord as a young boy and he held on to God's promises. Also, those who have a good grasp of the sovereignty of God, they recognize who they are. They know that they themselves are not God. Look what Joseph says there in verse 19. Because Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, am I God? Joseph believed the same as what his father said. His father said in verse 30, 32, exactly the same thing when his wife came to him and said, it's your fault that I haven't got a child. And he said to her, do you think it's my fault? Do you think I'm God that I can just do that, that I can open your womb? No, Joseph spoke the truth to his brothers and said, listen, I'm not God. He had a lot of power. I'll just remind you of his position. He was the minister of agriculture. He was the minister of lands. He was responsible for the feeding, not only and the saving of not only the whole of Egypt, but all the neighboring towns and villages and countries around Egypt. He was a man of incredible power and responsibility. And there he is, standing before his brothers with that sort of power. And what does he say? Who do you think I am, God? That I have the right to judge you against others? Some of us put ourselves in the position of God, don't we? Oh, do you know what? If God just gave me the power just for one day, do you know what I'd do for that? What right have we got? What right have we even got to even desire or to request that we should have some form of justice this side of eternity? No, God has promised that all things work together for all things, folks, even the negative stuff. And it's whether we can see God's all things in the plans, in the things, in the situations that he allows us to live through. Joseph did. And so he said, listen, I'm in no position to judge you because I'm only here because of the mercy of God myself. The second thing we notice there from Joseph as well is those who have a grasp of the sovereignty of God, they know that they are directed by God. Just look what Joseph said there in verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done in the saving of many lives. Even though his brothers had sold Joseph, it was God who'd sent Joseph. Even though it sometimes seems that it was the Romans that were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ, even though sometimes some would accuse the Jews and say it was the Jews who cried, crucify, let me tell you, if we were there, we would have been crying exactly the same thing as well. Because the scripture is quite clear. What does it say at this? Is that it was the Father's good pleasure. It was part of God's sovereign plan that Christ Jesus would die on the cross for each and every one of us so that all may be saved. It was part of God's sovereign plan that Joseph would be taken all the way into Egypt so that the nation of Israel and others would be saved. It's God who's in control of these situations. And those who have a real grasp of the sovereignty of God can rest in that simple knowledge, knowing that God is directing us. And finally, for this morning, I told you I'd be brief, didn't I? Those who do have a grasp of the sovereignty of God, they continue to serve God, just as Joseph continued to minister to God. Look what it says there. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your children. And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. Joseph is promising something to them there. He's promising that he would continue to nourish them, to comfort them, to take care of them, but not just them, but that next generation of their own as well. Isn't that an amazing forgiveness? What enabled Joseph to turn the other cheek was his realization that God is sovereign in all situations. God's sovereignty is not just an important doctrine, although it is. It is key to survival. It's key to living righteously. It's key to living and effectively serving God. God's sovereignty means that he is in control of everything that happens in our life. Folks, if we realize this, we will remain faithful. He will greatly use us and honor us, just like he honored Joseph. What an incredible man of faith he is. And what a lesson that there is for each and every one of us to learn this morning. I pray in Jesus' precious name that as we've considered him briefly together, that the Lord would continue to remind you of these things and remind you of his sovereignty in your life and in the life of this church. Amen.